Hey Gems, welcome back to the show. Let's not waste any time and jump straight into the topic. Welcome to the show. Let's go ahead and welcome our special guest, Jamie. Thank you so much for being here. I would love for you to, you know, let us know a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. Again, my name is Jamie. Thank you, Jacent, for inviting me to your podcast. This is awesome. It's a long time coming. We've known each other for a while, and I haven't been on here. But again, my name is Jamie. I'm a How Money Works educator. I'm especially passionate about helping women because in fact, I just had a women's event yesterday. It's different, you know. It's the way we think about money, the way we talk about money, the way that we interact with money is different, that's not really reflected in the financial industry. So I'm especially passionate about helping women, and I serve really the best women over 50 right now who are feeling very uneasy about the market, who are especially in today's economy. Right? Are you guys watching that? I work with women who want predictability in terms of their income once they stop working, and they want to avoid being a burden to their family for sure, at all costs. So I help them with a simple 7-step system to really make their money work for them as long as they last, and also work harder for them so they never have to be a burden for their kids or for their family. And those are the people I help the most. But of course, there's women from all walks of life that I would be happy to help as well. But that is what I do. But do you want me to go into a little bit more about something else?
Yeah. So I love that you are kind of in your zone of genius, right? You've been cutting away to find exactly where you fit as far as how you serve in the world. And it's been just a pleasure to watch. And anyone listening that doesn't know, Jamie is actually kind of like our resident financial professional in Wealth and Wellness University. We met over 2 years ago, probably like, I don't know, some 2.5 or something like that.
Or 3 or something. It's been a while.
Right. At a women's event. And, you know, while I'm a money mindset coach, I know that there's areas that I don't specialize in. So Jamie really can have conversations around, you know, exactly what to do with your money, make recommendations, give you the right connections, give you a free How Money What Works book if you're lucky. Okay. And so it's been, you know, a process for you to kind of get to where you are now and really clear in who you serve. But I love that your own journey is what inspired you to start down this path in the first place. And yeah, so I think that would be really cool to hear. I always love hearing it because I'm like, what a story. it's like when you have a favorite episode of a show and you like want to watch the episode again. I would love for you to kind of share from like things happening with your uncle to, you know, paying down your debt to getting back into debt, then paying it down again and switching careers. Like I would love to hear like from the beginning to end, you know, how is it that you found yourself at the place that you're at now?
Sure. Yeah. And just to kind of clarify for your listeners too, like think of Jacent as the money mindset person. Think of me as the money implementation person. So I am the one who's licensed to actually put your money to work. Let me start from, I guess the sort of beginning, like before I got into, the industry. So you're talking about my debt story, right? that's an interesting one. I actually didn't have a background in money or finance or anything like that. I actually came from software engineering because I come from parents who are immigrants, and they're like, you have to be a doctor, you have to be a lawyer, or you have to be an engineer. So I chose engineer. I chose software engineering, and you know, I went to school for that. Not very cheap school either, but I did have a big scholarship that I got from it. Ended up racking up probably like $45,000 in student loan debt, which would have been $250,000 if I didn't have a scholarship. So grateful. Not a cheap school I went to. But after that, you know, I was actually super passionate about industry, not really industry, but the subject of computer science. And so I went right in. I became a software engineer, did that for 5.5 years, didn't really like it. found that out, but I'll go backwards there. I kept at it with software engineering because I wanted to pay off those student loans. I didn't want to have that for the rest of my life. I saw people in my life who had student loans even in their 50s, in their 60s, in their 70s, and I was like, that's not going to be me. So I made a plan to stay with my parents because I did not want to rack up any rent or mortgage debt or anything like that. So I made a plan that I was going to put in $1,000 a month into this thing until it's gone. It's like 2 years. This thing is going to be gone. I'm going to make sure I don't spend too much. I'm going to make sure I don't, don't do anything like that. I became a saver, like very early on in my life. That was the one awesome thing that my dad taught me to do is you got to save. You got to save half of your income. I was like, well, okay. So I ended up doing that, putting into that loan. And like I said, less than 2 years later, it was gone. I did not have to worry about that anymore. I was a weight off my shoulders. But then one day, I was at work, probably at the end of the day, maybe like around 3 o'clock or so, I got a call from my dad saying, "Hey, I'm getting you and your sisters a car." And I was like, "A car? With what money? You don't have money. What do you mean you're getting us a car?" So I was actually not happy. Like if someone said they were going to get you a car, I was like, most people are like, "Oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah, I get a new car." Because I knew we didn't have money. So I knew it was me that had to pay for it. That's why I was mad. So he said, "Oh, you and your sisters need a car, blah, blah, blah." He got that car for us. Ended up being like a $40,000 car. I was like, "Are you freaking kidding me, Dad? What are you doing?" But I was okay with it because, okay, I get to pay it with my sister. I was like, fine, okay. So it's going to be a sort of $20,000 car that we share. That's fine because they're doing half-half. But then my sister, she got a job in Georgia like 2 weeks later. And I was like, what? No! That means I have to pay for this car now. Right? So she of course she got a couple payments in or whatever, maybe it was 2 months, 3 months later. But man, I had a $40,000 bill on my back again. Another freaking student loan that I had to pay. I was like, "Are you kidding me, Dad? Like, what are you doing to me here? Like, I was done. I was done with debt." So I was like, "All right, we're back at it again. We're gonna keep working, we're gonna keep the plan going." So I did it again. Less than 2 years, that thing was gone. It takes discipline, obviously, you know, it takes discipline. It just takes focus on what your goal is, you know, when it comes to getting rid of debt, because I know there's temptations out there. I love electronics. So I love buying new computers or new cell phones or, however, up to a point, because I really don't like spending money. So I like seeing my savings grow. That's the habit I actually grew since age 18 of saving and seeing my savings grow. I like seeing that more than I like new stuff. So that's a kind of a habit that I built for myself. So this discipline just got easier over time.
Right.
Just got easier. Now it's like nothing. I was like, no, I'd much rather save than go on that trip. Maybe the trip is not important to me at the time. But if it's something that's of value, then of course I'm going to want to do that more. But anyways, so that's the kind of debt story there. I didn't like I said, because I started so early, because it became an ingrained habit, it wasn't hard for me. It wasn't a hard shift to make. Because I already had that discipline in place. That's not the case for a lot of people, and that's okay. Please don't think you're weird or anything like that. Like it is a hard thing to make that switch. So that's kind of the debt story. But to get into, I guess, more entrepreneurship, I was, like I said, from the very beginning, I didn't like being in software engineering. After 1 year, I was like, this is miserable. I do not want to do this anymore. Why did I pick this? I don't know why I did this. Not because it's a bad field. It's an incredible field. Like, you can make so much income in this field. You can have so much growth. But for me, it wasn't what I wanted. I didn't want a 9-to-5. I didn't want to have a boss anymore. So for me, it was more like, ew, it's a job. It's not, ew, it's engineering. So I needed something else. I needed to be my own boss. I needed to call my own shots, but I didn't know what to do, right? So I tried different things. I tried Etsy. I don't know if anyone's heard of Etsy, but I made my own jewelry because I've been an artist all my life as well. So I made my own jewelry. I did everything from scratch. I engineered the thing. Like I made it. I sold it. I had First Friday. Like every first Friday I was there, you know, I had a little booth there. That was super fun. I did that for 2 years. It opened my mind to what entrepreneurship was and how many hats you get to have on your head. All the roles that you have to do. I fell in love with it, but I found out throughout that process that like jewelry is not my passion. I don't want to help people buy some trinket that I made. Like that's not what's passionate to me. I wanted to help people in some way. To me, that wasn't helping people. So I was introduced to the financial industry, and it was a company that actually is more like a kind of like a grassroots type company where, they're helping people that the financial industry isn't willing to help because, you know, people like you and me, at least now, we're definitely going to be wealthy soon. But for now, they're only helping people who have 500,000 to invest, a million to invest, 10 million to invest. The financial industry, they're always going for the big guys, right? This company was helping everyone, no matter how much money you made. And that pulled on my heartstrings. I was like, that's incredible, because my mom would never have been helped. My dad would never have been helped. My mom wouldn't have been able to retire last year.
Wow.
Like, this company has done so much for my family. And so that's what was my introduction to the financial industry. And that blew my mind. I was in love with this industry now, because now I get to help people change their lives. I get to help them change their generational wealth. Their legacies. I get to help people with their money. And as you know, money is such a difficult subject. Money could be super complex to someone when it really isn't. So I got to learn how to teach people, hey, it's actually not that hard. Let me explain it to you in a way that you understand. Even an 8-year-old can understand it. Like, that's how simple I explain stuff. And I fell in love with that. And now I know I'm going to be doing this my entire life. I know that, because this is so fun. This is so fun. It's so impactful. I've helped, hundreds of families so far, and it's going to be thousands in the near future, because I'm looking for others who are just as passionate as I am. Right. So, hopefully that answered all your questions. Is there anything that I missed that?
I love that you are like a living testament of how important it is, right, to make sure that you have the financial literacy and education in place, but also with the implementation, like you mentioned. And I know that there's, the part that you share about, your uncle and your family thought one thing and it really was something else. And so it's like, if we don't have a Jamie in our life, if we don't have someone that helps us to make sure that we're covered, it can really put us in a bad position. And so I would love if you, are able to share about that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So when I was introduced, right. There's a part, that you need to be licensed. So it's a very regulated industry. So during my licensing process, I was doing all the studying, took me, a couple of weeks or so. But then in the middle of those weeks, we get a call saying that, hey, my favorite uncle, he only has a few days left, because we found out probably 4 months prior that he had a very, very aggressive cancer, right? So I knew it was coming. I just didn't know when. They assumed it would take a couple years. We found out it's only 4 months, you know, later. So we rushed over to California, and we were there by his side. He was in his hospice care and everything. And again, it was just in the middle of my studying. So I was already thinking about, life insurance. I was thinking about long-term care. I was thinking about all these things because that's what I was studying for. And I was like, are you guys okay? Are you going to be okay? Because he was an income earner, right? You're taking care of him, you know, washing his sheets, all that stuff. And you have to take off of work and do all these things. Are you guys going to be okay once he's gone? They were like, it's okay. We have life insurance, you know, we should be fine. He has it from work. And I was like, okay, I don't have to worry then. But then, you know, the day that he passes away, we find out that it actually wasn't life insurance. A lot of people think that, you know, from work, yeah, we have life insurance there, but there's this other one called AD&D insurance, accidental death and dismemberment insurance. That's not life insurance. That's if you were to get into an accident in a specific way, in a specific time frame, in a specific way to die, right? That's when they pay out. So that's what he had. You know, it's something like a couple bucks a month or whatever. And that crushed me. I was like, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, of course I couldn't do anything. You know, I wasn't like, it's not like I knew about this 4 months prior or a year prior. So I wasn't feeling guilty, but I was feeling like, man, if we just knew this earlier,
right,
their lives could have been completely different. Right. And I thought from then on that if my family is suffering from this, just not knowing what they have, not knowing what financial products are or how they can help. And there's millions of people out there,
right,
who don't know this stuff as well. So I made it my mission to be that person that can explain that stuff. Not the person that just puts people into products, the person who can explain it so that they understand, so that they keep it, so that it helps them in the future because they know the value of what they have, right? So so not only for my family I did this for, but of course the community, for anyone else that I can touch.
Right.
Does that make sense? So and I want this to be a national thing. Like I want to help people not only in Las Vegas, but everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I have licenses right now in 15 states. I'm trying to help people everywhere. I'm trying to build offices in so many different states in this country so that we actually know what the hell we're doing, you know, because we don't right now. We never did. And that's what my mission is. So I need an army. I need an army to be able to help all these people. Just think about Las Vegas alone. I have 3 million people here. I can't do that alone, guys. I need more people. So that's what I'm doing. I'm helping train others who could do the same, who are passionate about it.
I love it. I love that you said, you know, it wasn't ill software, it was ill a job. And so yeah. You knew that that's not what you wanted. You knew you wanted to be your own boss. And so that journey led you down the path of trying different things. And I think you have to sample, right? You have to sample different things to get clarity on exactly what's right for you. And so you sampled, you know, being a jewelry maker, and you sampled, I think, also being paid to like play video games. Like,
you have no idea what I sampled. I've done much. I've tried animation. I've tried, 2D animation, painting, you know, drawing, making posters, making stickers, making shirts, like all kinds of different things throughout my lifetime. And then I found out about Etsy and all that stuff. That was later on in my life, but man, I've done everything. I've tried a lot of things, which I'm grateful for. My parents were encouraging that and like creating an environment where I can be creative. I was able to eliminate the things that I didn't want early on in life. So I'm not spending, you know, my adult years going through all of that. So when I found the financial industry, I just locked in. I knew it. That was it. That was the one.
Wow. And it became your mission, right? And so mm-hmm. on another note, if for anyone who's listening that feels like they are passionate about financial literacy and, you know, educating people on finances and want to learn more, then definitely reach out to Jamie in that aspect, because she is building teams, not just a team, but teams, you know, all over the nation. And it might be a great way for you to sample or see if this is what's for you as far as, you know, creating a career that gives you flexibility and freedom and the opportunity to kind of work in an area of genius for you or something that you're passionate about. So that's one thing. For those listening, right? So you have like some serious saving muscles. You have some savings muscles that are like killer, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the ladies listening, I know a lot of people struggle with like, where do they start on their journey? How to mm-hmm. be more disciplined and consistent. Those are the two words that always come up. Discipline and consistency. Now for you, you've exercised your muscles like heavily. And I think it's such a great testament to the fact that, you know, what's passed down is going to be perpetuated. So your dad passed down saving to you, right? Even if he wasn't doing he instilled that in you. And mm-hmm. because of that, that's what you perpetuated in your life. And so right. you know, that's amazing. But for people who don't have that foundation, right, where, you know, saving wasn't something that they were told that they needed to do, and they haven't worked out this money muscle to be disciplined and consistent. If someone's at ground zero and it's like, I don't know where to begin, but I know I want financial freedom. I know I want to create generational wealth. Is there like, you know, a plan that you would want for them to attend to that would help them be able to get there systematically? Like, where do they start on the game board and how do they get to Candyland?
Yeah. When it comes to saving, I'm going to take a page out of Atomic Habits, right? You have to make sure that your environment is conducive to actual success, right? And the simplest way to do that when it comes to saving is creating some sort of either bank account or some online account that's out of sight, out of mind. It is, you'd never check it, like that type of thing. And all you're doing is an automatic deposit into that. And you never think about it again. You'll be surprised how much money ends up being in there. By the time, you know, a few months go by, you don't even have to physically do it, right? The software will do it for you. That's the simplest thing. And I've gotten people who have never saved before, who have been able to save now 13 grand, you know, 5 years later, 4 years later, right? Because they just had something that they didn't have to think about, that they set up, you know, out of sight, out of mind, right? When you do that, You're exercising that muscle without knowing it, right? The harder way to do it is physically doing it. It's like, okay, let me deposit some money over here. Don't do that. If you're first starting out, make it automatic. Because think about it. If you have to pay your electricity bill, if you have to pay all these things, you're going to come up with the money somehow, right? Why can't we do the same thing with savings? You can think of it as a bill,
right?
It's a bill that you cannot skip. So just think of that as, you know, something that needs to be paid. Is it 50 bucks a week? Is it, you know, 100 bucks a month? Is it, whatever it is, start with something. The smallest amount is enough to build that muscle.
I love it. What you just said reminded me, or made me think of, right? That if you're struggling to save money, it's because you've made it an option instead of a requirement, right? And that mm-hmm. you haven't then, based on it being a requirement, created an environment that is conducive to you being able to meet that requirement, which is just automate it, right? Like eliminate having to think about it, automate it by coming up with a separate account where you're not going to see it, and let your job know, or make their from your bank direct deposit straight to that account of some amount. Even if it's like, to me, I'm when I think about Atomic Habits and things like that, I'm like, the bare minimum, if we saved $1 a day now to the end of the year, that'd be $86. And that probably would be $86 more than you would otherwise have saved. Exactly. So it's like, well, that $86 doesn't sound like a lot. Okay, but when was the last time you saved $86? Like, so, you know what I mean? So it's like, does it need to just start small so you build that muscle and then you can, you know, allow that to roll over and turn into something more? And so I love that you mentioned that because I think it's key. And so that is a savings piece covered. But I know that you said that there are seven.
I wanted to add a little bit more to that.
Please do, and then dive into the seven
for sure.
steps.
For sure. What my mentor says all the time, saving needs to be like working out, right? Working out makes you uncomfortable. So your saving needs to be a little uncomfortable. If you're comfortable with it, you can save a little bit more, right? So if it's oh, I'm comfortable with 100. Okay, then do 150. Do that, right? So that's another thing. So if it's $1, the dollar is the only thing you're comfortable with, make it $1.50. Oh, okay. You know, so make it maybe make it 50% more. That will help you build your muscle. If you're doing something that's comfortable, you will never build the muscle, right? You're just going to stay weak, right? Mm-hmm. So that's an important piece as well.
It needs
to be
it.
Uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. Now I'm thinking, like, how much money am I saving? I need to make it a little bit more uncomfortable. Okay. So then dive into these like seven areas that someone wants to be focused on to really create generational wealth.
For sure. So, I don't know if you can see. Yeah, you can see it. So how many works, is my firm, and how many works, stop being a sucker is the book that we wrote. And in that book, this is the book that I teach off of. In that book, there's the last half of it talks about the seven money milestones. And I believe wholeheartedly that these seven money milestones, if you do not have all seven in place, I don't care how much money you have, if you do not have all seven in place, your life will fall apart at some point. Like, guaranteed. Because life is going to throw something at you, some curveball, something, and it's going to unravel everything you've worked for. So I wholeheartedly believe that these seven money milestones need to be in place, no matter if you're just starting out or if you're the wealthiest person in the room. I don't care, right? So the seven money milestones, the first one is financial education, right? Financial education, that's understanding basic financial concepts. What is inflation? What is the rule of 72? How are these things working for me or against me? Right? What is compound interest? How is that working for me or against me? Right? Knowing those concepts. If you don't know those, you're not going to have any sense of urgency. You're not going to understand how your money is working. You're not going to understand when somebody is screwing you over. Right? So it's important to know those things, because if you don't, then moving forward, you're still going to make the same exact mistakes, the same exact money mistakes. Right? So financial education is important. The book can help with that. So if you'd like a copy of the book, I can get that to you. So so the first one's that. The second one is proper protection. Because who's the most important asset in your life? You are. It's not what. It's not your car. It's not your house. It's none of that stuff. It's you. Because you have built yourself, right? You went to school, you invested in yourself to make you build those skills, to become a better person. You're the one who's making all the income, right? So if that's the case, we need to protect ourselves. We have to make sure we're protecting our income. If something were to happen to us, if we got sick, or if we passed away and we have people financially responsible for us, what happens? That's an important thing to think about. For me, I don't have to, I'm not worried about that, because if I were to pass away, my family will be fine. It'll take care of whatever they need to be taken care of. So I never worry about that stuff. So I want everyone to have that peace of mind as well, right? So proper protection, whether that be life insurance, health insurance, long-term care insurance, whatever it is, life is going to throw something at you. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Right.
Right. So it's important to have that kind of defensive piece in place. And then number three, that one is emergency fund. So we're already talking about saving, so kind of have that down pat. But what we recommend is 3 to 6 months of income. 3 to 6 months of income saved. We all have lived through, you know, COVID, right? We've seen what happened with jobs being, you know, people being laid off, people not having any income for a long period of time. That's what an emergency fund is for. It's for loss of income. It's for, you know, those surprise nails in your tire. It's for, you know, the surprise, you know, medical expense, that type of thing. Because think about it. If you don't have that in place, what is your quote-unquote emergency fund? It's your credit cards. And what happens with credit cards? You get charged more money. You already don't have money, and now you're charged even more money. That doesn't make sense. So the next piece actually follows into that. So that's the debt management now. Number four is debt management. And what I mean by management is actually knowing what debts you have, right? Lay it all out. Bam, bam, bam. Discover Card, Citibank, whatever, Synchrony, whatever. You need to have all those in place. Know the interest rates they're charging you. That's important. Most people don't look at that. You got to look at the fine print. Look at the interest rates they're charging you. Do the rule of 72 on them to figure out how much they're screwing you, right? And once you have that all laid out, you have to come up with a plan. You have to come up with a strategy on how to get rid of it faster. And you already know just then about debt stacking or debt snowballing. You got to use those methods towards those things. That's how we get out of debt fast. People make the mistake of shotgunning their debt. They're putting an extra here and an extra here, an extra here, an extra here, and that slows you down, right? So debt management is knowing your debt, knowing how much interest is being charged, knowing your plan, knowing when you're going to be out of it debt-free, right? So that's debt management. Most people don't have all of those check boxes, right? And then, so 1, 2, 3, 4, now we're at 5. So 5, that is cash flow. This is probably not talked about a lot by financial people. Cash flow, you need to increase it every year. If you are not increasing your cash flow every single year, inflation is working against you. Of course, it always is working against you. We have to be outpacing inflation and minimizing our taxation. So how do we do that? We got to make more money, right? We can't budget ourselves to wealth. We have to make sure we're making more every single year. Whether that be adding a business to the fold, side gigs. There's the gig economy so big nowadays. Any other source of income, maybe it's a hobby or who knows. It's up to you what you decide to do to increase your income. But always think about that. Always think about how do I increase? How do I, abundance mindset, right? How do I make more? How do we make that happen? Instead of what can I cut back on? What can I do there? Because that's only going to go so far. And then building wealth is number 6. And then building wealth is all about, all right, I've worked hard for this money. Now let's make my money work hard for me. Let's make sure that this is growing for me. This is using compound interest and making sure for my future, I actually have something. I have a bag of money that I get to utilize, right? So building wealth, whether it be investing in things or whatever it is that you want to invest in, everyone has their own personality types and the ways they want to invest. Don't think that you have to be pigeonholed into anything. You don't have to. There's all kinds of ways to invest. But building wealth, super, super, super important. And then the last piece, that's protecting it. That's protecting that wealth now. Okay, we've done all this work. We've worked all our lives. We've built all this wealth. What happens when we pass away? What happens when we get super sick? What happens if we don't have the kind of legal documents in place for that? Wills and trusts? You could lose it all. It might not go to your family, or at least the majority of it might not go to your family. So it's important to have a trust in place to make sure that house goes to your daughter. Make sure your 401ks go to your family. Make sure all that stuff, you know, is in place so they don't have to stress. Because that's the biggest stressor for families, is when someone passes away and none of that is put into place, they now have to spend years going through the court system and having whatever's left after they pay the attorneys, right? That sucks. That really, really sucks. So having all 7 of those in place, again, super important to have all seven, because if you don't, life's going to ruin it. It's going to ruin it at some point.
Excuse me. I think that you really are hitting on, you know, so many good pieces of the puzzle. And that when we were listening to this, if you have been listening, I would dare you to go back and do it again and say, well, which ones do I have checked off and which ones do I need to attend to? Mm-hmm. And when am I going to attend to those areas? Because if not, like Jimmy mentioned, you are vulnerable. You are leaving yourself vulnerable to financial ruin. And it could be financial ruin that doesn't just affect you, but then instead of generational wealth, we're passing down generational financial insecurity, right? Mm-hmm. Financial liability. So, you know, we have to know that whether we're actively working toward creating generational wealth, that either we're making it happen or we're setting ourselves and our, you know, lineage back further. Right. Mm-hmm. And so something's happening regardless. And for anyone listening who feels like this conversation has been enlightening or helpful, or that Jamie's story or something that she mentioned resonates with you, I'm going to have her let us know where to connect with her so that one, you can get one of these How Money Works books, because she done made the offer. Y'all better get this free book, but you better get the book and actually read it. I know she sent me one, and know I'm going to make it my goal to read the book before, you know what, it's right here. To read the book before the year ends, and to really be able to continue to learn like how money works, right? I'm not an expert. I'm actually an eternal student. And so I'm just one step ahead of many of the listeners and my own students. Doesn't mean I know everything. And I know that there's more that I need to learn. And I think I still have a couple of pieces of the puzzles as far as milestones that I need to check off too. And so like, we're all constantly trying to do our best to attend to these areas. And I appreciate you, Jamie, for coming on and sharing. We're actually going to have to make sure you come back to share some more gems. But where can people reach out to you to get their copy of this How Money Works book, Don't Be a Sucker, and to learn more about how you serve?
So I'll give your ladies my personal cell, if that would be helpful. 702-336-6234. I answer my texts, so I will respond.
She does answer texts.
Just let me know where you're coming from. Hey, I listened to you on Just Sense podcast, so I know, you know, what you know and what you heard and that type of thing. And you could also email me at jamie@howmoneyworks.com. So Jamee. So it's spelled differently. So just be aware of that. So jamie@howmoneyworks.com.
I love it. I just opened the book and it was right there, the 7 money milestones.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
I love it. So I'm going to make that my goal to read this. Anyone who's listening, make sure that you go ahead and get your copy sent to you and that you actually read it. Too many people aren't reading the books that they have. So there's that.
And it's only an hour. It's only an hour read. It's not even like an extensive thing. We made it that short on purpose because we want people to read it. Want it to be not intimidating. And there's all kinds of pictures and colors and characters in there to resonate with everyone who reads it, to make it an easy read. Like I said, even 8-year-olds can read this.
Ooh, and even in the back, there's some worksheets and things like that. Yep. Okay, y'all. Y'all better get this. Listen, I love something for free, so y'all better get it and use it, okay? Well, Jamie, I appreciate you for being on today. I'm so glad to know you and to be able to watch your journey unfold. Can't wait to have you back, hopefully sooner rather than later, to share more gems with us, because you're just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to money. And as you're talking, you're like, dang, I don't know why I don't have her on even more regularly. But anywho, we go.
No, grateful for you, Jacen. Thank you so much.
All right, gems, we will talk to you next time. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to support the podcast, you have a few options. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to it, and you'll be notified as new episodes are uploaded. You can also leave a review or send me your feedback. Doing so helps me to create content that's relevant to what you want to hear about. And last, you can share the podcast with a friend. Whether it's directly or sharing it on your social media, it helps them to know that you think that this is information that they need to hear about. Thank you.